Right. The book of Job, chapter 20, verse 5, says this, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and that the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Tonight, I want us to look at Abner's hypocrisy. Abner's hypocrisy. And may I say that his hypocrisy is on full display? If we think back about the last time I spoke on 2 Samuel, I told about Joab and Abishai's brother. His name is Asahel. Asahel was younger than Joab and Abishai. And he could run faster. As a matter of fact, the scriptures talk about that he was very fleet of foot. And so, as Abner's forces had suffered defeat, they were trying to get away. They were retreating. And Joab and his army was chasing them. And Asahel was so much faster that he came upon Abner. And Abner knew that he was being chased. And he turned and he told him, he said, "You need to go find one of the younger men to take their armor. You need to leave me alone." And so Asahel would not do that. He kept pursuing, and he came upon him very quickly, and Abner took the spear that he had. He was running with it, and he knew he's behind him, and he just takes him and thrusts it backward, and it goes through basically his whole body and comes out the backside. And Asahel dies there in pursuit of what he thought was going to be a pretty big scalp. He died because he was rash. And I love the zeal that young people have. I think that I probably also had a lot of zeal without knowledge. Have we got security going on? Okay, all right. Hopefully there's nothing wrong. All right. I've probably been zealous in my young Christian life. And I hope that I am zealous now, but not to the point of foolishness. But Asahel was a foolish young man. He should have paid attention to someone that was trained greater than him, but he did not. And it cost him his life. Because it cost him his life, he also hindered the other people that were in the army. Now, what was the job that they were doing? They had already won a battle on the battlefield. The enemy was retreating, and so they were chasing them. But when Asahel fell, people knew who he was. They knew that he was the commander's younger brother. And so they see him laying there, and so they stop to look. They stop to observe. And as they do that, the enemy gets farther and farther away from them. And so that's where we ended last time. Tonight, I want us to look beginning in verse 24, and we will get through verse 32 tonight. And the outline of the message tonight, it all comes from verse 26. I'll make reference to the other verses, but there are three questions that Abner gives to Joab. And in each of these questions, we see his hypocrisy. And I don't know of anything that people despise more than a hypocrite. One of the things that is absolutely frustrating for me is to watch politicians for any length of time. You know, there's an old saying that says, how do you know if a politician's lying? His lips are moving. And so I watch some of these guys, and it's amazing. You know, 6 months ago, they had one position, and now they have a different position because it all depends on whose ox is being gored. And I look at some of these folks, and I'm thinking, is there a statesman at all in Washington, D.C.? I do think that we've got a good man in the governor's seat right now. You know, we are being threatened by Netflix, and we're being threatened in Georgia by Disney, that if our newly enacted abortion law goes into effect, which basically protects infants at 8 weeks because they can detect a heartbeat, that we're not willing to kill babies. Well, Disney and Netflix are talking about basically pulling out of the state of Georgia. And the only thing that I can say is don't let the door hit you on the way out. And the governor, when I was asked about this, he said, basically, the people of Georgia, we choose life. And I like that. And so I think that there are probably few and far between in Washington, D.C., but thank God there's a few in Atlanta. And so hypocrisy is something that is absolutely amazing. And speaking of hypocrisy, let me just go ahead and expound a little bit more on this. How many of you ever thought that old Walt Disney many years ago was a family-oriented type guy? I mean, that was the way that it was touted, wasn't it? And now you got people in charge of that place that openly advocate homosexual marriage and openly advocate killing the most innocent among us. And I heard somebody the other day make a statement, and they said, well, I can't believe that you pro-life people, you always talk about life, but you're for the death penalty. Yeah. I don't know of a baby that's killed anybody yet. I don't know of a baby that's murdered anybody yet. I don't even know if I believe in the electric chair. I might believe in an electric couch. I mean, I think that the sword should not be born in vain. But you don't get any more innocent than a baby. And so I've chased that rabbit, I guess, as far as I need to. Let me get to my passage. Look at verse 24. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammah that lieth before Gia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. Verse 25, what we see is we see that because they had stopped to look at Asahel, now reinforcements have made it to Abner to help him. It says that they were at the hill of Ammah, and when they got there, the children of Benjamin. Now, who were the children of Benjamin? That was the tribe that Saul was from. And so they are still loyal to the house of Saul. They gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on top of a hill. So in other words, they were in a superior position. Abner and his troops that had finally started chasing them again, they're having here at the bottom of the hill, they're looking up, and they see a great number of people in a position that's advantageous to battle. And so then Abner steps up and he asks three questions. And these three questions are the three points that I have for this evening. The first thing Abner does is he calls out to Joab. And in question one, he says, shall the sword devour forever? His hypocrisy, I guess, knows no bounds. When you look at that question, I don't think that Abner is really concerned. I don't think there's a genuine bone in his body. But yet, because he's a hypocrite, he wants people to think that he's a certain way. And he says, shall the sword devour forever? In other words, think about the fact that there's a domino that's going to fall. If you do this, then this is going to happen. He wasn't concerned about the sword devouring forever when he said, let 12 men from your army and 12 men from my army, let them get together and let them play. He didn't care that 24 young men took each other by the hair and stabbed each other through the stomach and the ribs, and all 24 of them died. He didn't care about 24 young lives. All he cares about is saying now, shall the sword devour forever? He wasn't even concerned when he went to battle, because he thought that he was going to be the one that was the victor. And so when his team began to lose and they began to flee and retreat, now he wants to feign care for life. Shall the sword devour forever? It's only when he starts losing does he start thinking about others. And we need to be very, very aware of people that are like that. There are people that show absolutely no mercy until they're desiring mercy. There are people that show no compassion until they need some compassion. And can I tell you that that is hypocritical? And so you've got Abner, and he asked that question. Shall the sword devour forever? Now remember, it's not just two men in a conversation, because there are other people listening. And so it's almost as though Abner is posturing. We'll see this a little more as we get to question three in a couple of minutes. But he's posturing for the crowd. Again, that's almost like a politician, isn't it? And so, you've got the first question. The second question is this. Look back at verse 26. Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? In other words, what is the result? Don't you know that it's just going to be bad when we get to the end of the battle? There's going to be so much bloodshed. There's going to be so much maiming. There's going to be just so many things. There's a commentator named Blakey. I like to read him some. And he makes this statement. He said, never do anything today that you will have to repent of tomorrow. And sometimes hypocrites are willing to do things. They're willing to take actions. But then down the road, when the results of those actions have come to fruition, then they want to try to get something done about it. And I think that Abner was a man like that. I think that we have a group of people, even in Christendom, and we think that we can just live as we choose to live without any consequences whatsoever. I think that there are churches that basically they've turned their back on the scriptures. I read a story of a quote unquote evangelical. He was giving a commencement address at Baylor University. And in that commencement prayer that he prayed, he basically said, forgive us for being, and I'm paraphrasing here, straight white males because we have put other people down. We have not been compassionate toward same-sex marriages. Now, Baylor University at one time was a Baptist school. It was built by Baptist money. Now, it's long since been gone, just like Harvard was started by the Presbyterians, and that's been gone. And Brown was started by the Baptists, and that one's gone also. And all the Ivy League schools were begun by people that loved God. They loved their Bible in the beginnings. But over time, liberalism creeps in. And can I tell you that liberalism never builds anything? It never builds anything. It doesn't build hospitals. It takes over hospitals. It doesn't build orphanages. It'll take over orphanage, and basically it corrupts it. Jude talks about ungodly men that creep in unawares. In other words, they see something that's good and they kind of worm their way in, and so there's hypocrisy that goes on. And so you've got people that live a certain way, and then whenever the final domino begins to topple over, they go, I don't want to have that result. But yet that's exactly what we've had take place in many portions of our society. If you were to look over at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 32, it talks about lifestyle. And it basically is talking about alcohol. And we've got very few churches that take stands on alcohol anymore. But yet, what does Proverbs 23 says? It says that at the last it biteth like a serpent and it stingeth like an adder. Now I'm going to tell you something. I've been stung before. I've been bitten before. I got bit one time by a flying squirrel. Now this squirrel was captured out of a nest. I had an uncle that saw these things flying down in the little woods down below my grandmother's house. And so somehow he captured some of those things and he put one of them squirrels in a cage. Now I'm about 9-10 years old and I'm wanting to aggravate the squirrel. And so I'm down there and I'm poking at him. Well, I poked in that cage with my finger and he bit the end of my finger. Now I've never been bitten by a snake that was like a venomous snake. I've been bitten by grass snakes, but I've never been bitten by a venomous snake. Can I tell you I don't want to be? And anybody that wants to be, you got room for rent upstairs. But Proverbs says that at the end, that sin, it is biting like a snake. And yet we see Abner. Don't you understand, so that all the people can hear, the people of Benjamin and what's left of his ragtag army, they can hear. And Joab's men, who are David's men, they can hear. Don't you realize that if we keep this fighting up, the end is going to be awful, awful bitter. And all I'm thinking is, you started it. You didn't say, hey, I'm sorry. You don't find that at all in the passage. What you find is you find this man posturing. You see him with hypocrisy just coming out of every pore of his body. Shall the sword devour? Don't you realize at the end it's going to be nothing but bitterness? And then he offers a third question. If you look back at verse 26, if you look at the end of the verse, it'll say, how long shall it be then ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren? In other words, how long are you going to chase your brother? Well, he wasn't thinking about that when he had Ishbosheth installed as king of Israel. All he's thinking about is power. He's thinking, Ishbosheth pretty much is a weak man. We will see this in chapter 3. But Ishbosheth is one of Saul's sons, and he was so weak, he didn't even go help his father fight in the battle that his brothers and his dad died in. But yet here he is. He's the king. Why is he the king? Because Abner, who is the commander of Saul's army, installs him in that position. And so, how long shall it be that you're going to chase your brethren? I think probably that question, in my mind, is probably the one that is the most hypocritical of all three of them. Because he's the one that set up that weak king. Not only that, he's the one that moved his troops against David's people. If you would, look back with me at verse number 8 of this same chapter. I think it's verse 8. No, it's verse 12. Go to verse 12. And Abner, the son of Ner, the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. So in other words, he went from one place to Gibeon, where David and his men are at. So who's the aggressor? Abner's the aggressor. It wasn't that Joab's the one that started it. Abner's the one that started it. He tried to set up a king. He has set the kingdom of Saul, or the house of Saul, against the kingdom and house of David. Even though he knows that the will of God is for David to be the king over the whole nation of Israel, not just of Judah, but over all the tribes of Israel. And so he set up the king. He did that, Abner. He's the one that left and went to Gibeah to do the fighting. Abner did that. He's the one that took those 12 boys from Benjamin and said, why don't you go fight those 12 boys from Judah? He's the one that did that. He's the one that started it. But now that he's losing, he's wanting to stop it. And so we see that he is now in the earshot of all of these people. He's saying basically that hey, we've got to just stop this. I mean, there's blood being shed. The end is going to be bitter. And how long are you going to chase your brothers? And so when you look at this man, we see that he starts the whole thing. Now in verse 27, we see that Joab was probably going to stop chasing the next morning as well. Look with me at verse 27. And Joab said, as God liveth, unless thou hadst spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up, every one from following his brother. In other words, Joab, trying to save a little bit of face, he said, even if you had not spoken, in the morning we would have stopped the chase. But now Joab, he's trying to save face in front of all of these men. And so Joab blows the trumpet in verse 28. And all the people stood still, and they pursued after Israel no more. Now remember, when it says pursued after Israel, it's talking about the tribes that lived north of Judah. All right? You basically had Judah, which was the largest tribe, and then you had at least 10 other tribes that were known as Israel, and they will be known as that later on when you get into things like the minor prophets. I preached on those minor prophets probably a year and a half ago, and you've got the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Well, this is a picture of what's going to take place 100 years from now. And so you've got verse 28, the trumpet is blown and they stop pursuing those tribes that are heading north. Well, just to make sure, Abner doesn't trust Joab. And may I say that Joab seems like a bad guy, or a good guy in this situation. But can I tell you that Joab's got his own problems? You're going to see that as we go through 2 Samuel. Joab has got some real problems. But here, he's returning from following after Abner. And so he gathers all the people together. There lacked of David's servants 19 men and Asahel. So you've got 20 men from David's army that have died. That's 20 young lives that are snuffed out because Abner is power hungry. Abner wants to be the power behind the throne. And so you have 19 men plus Asahel, 20 in total, that have given their life needlessly. But it's more than that. Because you see, that's just 20 from the tribe of Judah. If you continue to read, you will see this. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 360 men died. 18 times more of Abner's men died than David and Joab's men died. Abner could have cared less about the loss of blood. He was simply trying to overwhelm with his numbers. But when God is on a person's side, it doesn't matter the numbers, they're victorious. And so you've got 360 men dying in Abner's army. And so, after that, we come to verse 32. It says, they took Asahel and they buried him in the sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem. David was from Bethlehem. Joab, Abishai, Asahel, they were from Bethlehem, all in the land of Judah. And so they took him back home and they buried him. And it says that Joab and his men went all night. These men were in shape. But they left off chasing after Israel, and now they walk through the night, just as Abner's walking through the night with his men. They go through the night, and they came to Hebron at the break of day. When the sun begins to break through the next morning, they finally get to David's headquarters in Hebron. That concludes chapter 2. What's the lesson for us tonight? Well, just because someone names the name of God, Abner would consider himself to be a follower of Jehovah. But at the same time, just because he was born in Israel, that didn't give him a heart for God. And there are people in Christianity that make all kind of claims. Oh, I love God. But yet they deny his word. I love God, but they deny the commandments and the directions of God. They turn their back on certain peoples of God. They want to make God in their own little image. It's almost like going to a cafeteria whenever you're wanting to have lunch one day, and maybe it's like the old S&S or the old Morrison's or Piccadilly. You go through there and you say, well, I'll take a little bit of that, and I'll take a little bit of this, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. And that's the way they want to fashion their God. The only God that can be trusted is the God that we know that's in this book right here, in these pages. And so, just because someone names the name of Christ, what is their life like? Hypocrisy is rampant. And I want to make sure that you and I do not live hypocritical lives. I want us to make sure that our hearts are pure. Now, are we going to be sinless? Absolutely not. But if I'm going to sin, I hope it's not the sin of hypocrisy. I'd rather have some other sin than that. Matter of fact, you know, I don't plan on ever getting drunk. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be a drunk than a hypocrite. Hypocrisy, to me, is one of the most heinous things because you don't always see it right away. You know, you have people and they can play the part. And that's where the whole etymology of the word hypocrite comes from. In ancient Greece, there would be people that would play the hypocrite. What that meant was when you went to the theater, they were playing a certain part. They may have a mask on. And you would see something that was on the outside, but you had no idea what was on the inside. They were play actors. And that's what you have with Abner when he asked those three questions. Let's not be hypocrites the way that Abner was. Let's have a heart like David. And again, was David sinless? Oh no, David's going to have some problems. Matter of fact, we'll see some of those next time when we get to chapter 3. But tonight, let's check ourselves. Now we're about to have the men administer the Lord's table. Can I tell you that this ought to be a service that we genuinely do check ourselves? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, says, let a man examine himself. We need to make sure that there's nothing amiss. Make sure there's nothing evil in our hearts as we participate with the Lord's table. Let's not be hypocrites, especially on this night. Father, I pray that you take this message, use it for your glory. Help us to not be hypocrites. Help us to have a heart like David, who was a man after God's own heart, and not like Abner. And I pray that you'd be honored with this church. In Christ's name, amen. I'll ask the men to take the table.